Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to thank our good friend, Carlos Ramirez, for listening. What's up, Carlos?
Toma Papa
is
on the X,
tweeting out some ideas at me with regard to, and I like this idea. This is what I would do. I do think there is a way to structure a deal so that it is not so, you know, scary for the 49ers. Because we know Brock Purdy is not a disaster of a quarterback. We at minimum know that. The whole tone of it is kind of funny to me. If this is his floor, well, it's not like he's just a ridiculously awful QB this year. He has not been as good. That's fair. But I think there is a way to structure a deal so that it is not in stone for 5 years, number one. And number two, I would like to see higher level play at the backup position. In case he gets hurt, in case things get out of whack, have somebody else in there who, you know, you think could be interesting, kind of the way you did last year with Sam. And Carlos just tweeted that at me, and I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know necessarily exactly who the people are, but man, if Kyle Shanahan, and I'll still never know to my dying day if this was true, but if he was so damn rumored to be so infatuated with Mac Jones in the draft, well, let's see it. Let's see Mac Jones in the Kyle Shanahan system, because the New England Patriots had a defensive coordinator calling plays for him, and now he's a backup with the Jags, who have nothing.
He's a starter now.
He's a starter.
Yeah, and looking pretty good.
Not terrible. Like, right? That's kind of the point. You know, like he looks like Sam Darnold used to look. So I don't know what he would do.
Last year, the rookie deal. Fifth-year option, not picked up.
I don't hate the idea of him as a backup next year.
Yeah, not bad. And he's, you know, fits kind of the mold for Kyle Shanahan. Not super tall, not super good with the arm, but a guy who can, you know, make some of the throws. Diminutive.
Well, did Kyle love him as much as we were all told he did? If so, let's see it.
Well, if so, then if he really loved him as much as everyone thought, then you should have stuck at 12 and taken him at 12.
Agreed.
Instead of trading 3 first-round picks to move up and take Trey Lance, who also is a free agent.
Will be available, exactly.
He's available. As for the contract, I'm looking at the Lamar Jackson deal that he signed. Grandy mentioned it before. He signed for 5 and 260, which is an average annual of 52. That's not important. The total guarantee was 135.
For which player is this?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar, okay.
And he's not as good as Lamar, but this is a deal that was signed a couple years ago, and he got $72.5 signing bonus, prorated over 5 years. So the first 3 years of the deal, not a huge cap hit. The fourth year, the cap hit is $75 million. So you get to that spot, and you know, you play out that year, and if Lamar still isn't good or he's hurt, he's 29, you can get out of it at that spot, and you can structure something with Brock accordingly.
Let's take some more calls. Patrick in Florida is on the line. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me, Willard and Dibs. It is a pleasure. I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Patrick.
No, thank you for the great content. Listen to you guys every day after work, and a little bit during too. But what I wanted to say was, you know, I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. Definitely don't think that Niners should move on from him. But one thing I have noticed is this whole man coverage thing. Because early in Brock's career, he was so good at adapting to when the league adapted to him. You know, that's the number one trait of a great quarterback. When the league has a book on you, you adapt to it. So early in his career, what did he do? He ran and rolled out to the left all the time. Teams caught on to that. He stopped doing it. All good. The other thing that happened was he wasn't very proficient at throwing deep early in his career. He didn't try it a lot, and when he did, it was just off. It didn't look good. So what happened? Defenses forced him to throw deep, and he quickly adjusted to that, and he became a nice deep ball thrower, at least last year and in the half year before that. So my question is, as far as this man coverage thing, this seems like it's something that he has not been able to shake this year. You look at those splits between, you know, his quarterback rating, his completion percentage and everything, zone coverage versus man coverage. He leads the league in zone coverage, and he's one of the worst when it comes to man. So what is that? Is it his arm strength? Is it the personnel around him as far as his wide receivers go? You know, I know that the Niners receivers were pretty bad as far as, you know, gaining separation this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, I want to lean towards that. But then at the same time, you know, the arm strength thing does make up a lot for those times where you got to just get it in there in that little window. And I feel like when they play man coverage, press man in particular, he's forced to do that a lot. So that's just the only concern is this is the one thing he hasn't been able to kind of shake this year.
And Patrick, thanks so much for the call. I would say, and Dibs, I bet you're going to agree with me. Is some of that on Purdy's plate for sure, but it's much bigger than Purdy. Like that's also Kyle Shanahan's assignment right now, I would argue. That it's definitely been Deebo Samuel's assignment, and I don't know if Deebo has the pencil in order to get this assignment done, because everybody we've talked to has said that's just not what Deebo does. He's not a man beater. And you know, that's maybe why they drafted Ricky Pearsall, because in theory he's supposed to be able to do that more. That's the evolution we're looking for. This started in the Super Bowl. Steve Spagnuolo said it out loud after the game.
Yeah.
And it literally signaled to the league. Because Spagnuolo, if you remember after the game, said, I told everyone on our sideline, we came out in zone, and he's like, this kid is picking us apart. We are dead if we stay here.
It's because the receivers are able to get open against it, and he can deliver the ball on time.
And so he switched to man, and they had really good corners, and they kind of, to a degree, not completely, but they at least slowed down Deebo and Brandon, and the 49ers as a group were unable to adjust. And the league came back this year and said, perfect, let's do that every time. And you've seen the results. And it still hasn't meant that the Niners were just like some horrible offense. That's not what the stats say. But it's been a lesser team. No question about that. That's the job for all of them. And Kyle has to lead that. And to me, Brock follows suit. So anyway, it's on him, but it doesn't start with him.
It's on all of them. It starts with Kyle, to me, and the scheme and something that Jerry said, and you played it last hour about, you know, the way they go about running their offense. He has to adapt, and they have to go to more wide splits where you're going to widen out the defense and make your receivers have to go out there and beat a guy one-on-one. When you have everything tight to the line of scrimmage, and I'll ask Greg Cosell this tomorrow when we have him on our weekly visit, it seems a lot easier to cover when you don't have the same amount of space that you have to cover defensively. And, you know, Brock hasn't had the same amount of time. He's fled the pocket too eagerly. And, you know, Ricky Pearsall, I don't think has, even after the shooting and he's gotten into the flow, he hasn't been as much of a man beater, a man threat in the offense as I had thought that he was going to be.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I just think the two of them have not, and for good reason, they're not on the same page yet. They just haven't had enough time together. Telmo in the city next up. Hi, Telmo. Thanks for the call.
What's up, fellas? How you doing today?
Good, Telmo.
I need you guys to know this because you'll appreciate it real quick. I lost my first round of the playoff matchup in fantasy yesterday by .12
Oh,
by
crying out loud.
0.012 because of Sincere McCormick got hurt in the game. Had he had another 2 yards, I would have won. But anyways, I was sick. But anyways,
yeah.
Back to this Brock Purdy thing. What are we doing? What's going on here? Why are we having this conversation? I feel like this is all because of the generation where we get next day packages and all of our entertainment is in 30-second clips. It's all about like the right now, the immediacy of it all. Because are we forgetting who the heck Sam Darnold is? Like, he's nice. He has a good arm. He has moments. He's Sam Darnold. He's had so many years in the league to show us who he is. And we have Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy the perfect specimen of an athlete? No. Can he process? Can he play good football? Make good decisions? Is he experienced? Yes. Has he taken a team further than Sam Darnold has ever closed his eyes and dreamt of at night? Yes. So people are like, oh, you know, they say the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. We need to commit to Brock, okay? And I don't understand. So what are you going to do? You're going to bring in Sam Darnold for $30 million, and then he falls apart, and then we're nowhere better off. We're just back on the turnstile of quarterbacks where we've been since God knows when, since the Jeff Garcia days. We have an opportunity. We found gold in the last pick of the 7th round in the NFL draft. He's taken the team to 2 NFC championship games and was really the defense a 4th down stop away from winning a Super Bowl, even though he didn't play great, but or one lineman had made a block and we would have won their Super Bowl. So I don't know what we're doing. I don't know where this conversation is. I don't know what's going on, but people need to just chill out, go believe in Brock, commit to Brock, keep building the team. The team needs adjustment anyways. Keep going down that path and let good things happen.
Yeah, Telmo, thank you very much for the call. And again, just to answer real quick, and I know you mean this rhetorically, but the conversation comes from Brian Baldinger, who's a big friend of the station, goes on with the roast every week.
NFL expert.
And he said, I'd flip Brock for Sam right now, which may not really be realistically possible, certainly with the way that he presented it. But the response from Telmo, I think, is a very fair one. I'll just say this, though. When he goes, hey, have we forgotten who Sam is? There's too much of that for me. Sam is this. Brock is this. Oh, but now Brock is this. And now Sam is this. Just like any other human being, like, these guys all have multiple personalities as employees, as quarterbacks. And it is based on what's going on around them. Brock is in a great system. The system broke down this year. Sam is now in a great system. And now you're getting that production. There's just, to me, there's a little bit too much labeling going on. These are living, breathing things each football season.